So an inspiring story about Leib. I'm going through this sefer about stories about Leib. It's unbelievable. You've got 400 or 500 pages full of stories about Leib Steinman. It's unbelievable. I strongly recommend it to anybody. There's a story that it's known that Rabban Leib Steinman was a Zichron Livrach. He was nifter. He was 102 years old or something. Just how long ago? A few months ago? Yeah, a couple of months ago he was nifter. So he was known that his main theme was to avoid machlokes and to be mevata. It was always very, that was his theme, whoever came, that was not to avoid machlokes, and even if you're right in your argument, you should still be mevata. Countless stories like that even there's two parties, and the party was right, was very strongly opinionated, and even if you're right, the man said, you should be mevata, just get out of the machlokes, just get out of this. Countless, unbelievable stories. So apparently there's a reason for all that. His reason what happened, why was that his main theme? So, I mean, obviously, somebody self-understood, but he went very extreme, and he was very, very... So apparently, the story goes like this. Rabban Leib apparently explained that when he was a young bacher, he was in a certain yeshiva. He was a young bacher, 15, 17 years old. And this is in the 1920s, 1930s. And he was in a certain yeshiva where... I came to a point that there was a bit of a machlokes there between two sides of yeshivas. It was a bit of a machlokes within the management of the yeshiva and within two sides of the yeshiva was disagreeing on some fundamental points. And it was getting quite, it started off with just a bit of a murmuring, and then it developed into a more open machlokes. They held, they go with this, and they go with him, and they go with that, and it was quite. And it came to a point that everybody basically needed to take side. You basically needed to take side. You didn't have to, but most conversations went about. You had to sort of. So at that point, Rabban Leib said, "Okay, I'm not." He wasn't interested. He was a masmor, wasn't interested, and he said, "Okay, if that's the situation over here, that is a machlokes in the yeshiva, then I'm stepping out of this." And he packed his bags and he left. There was one person with him. And that was the Moshe Soloveitchik, had two bochim, two chavuses, and they packed the bags and they left. This was in the 1936, by the 1937, and they traveled from Lithuania, from Lita, they traveled all the way to Berlin, where there was, unbelievable, it was 1937 in Berlin. They slept in a train station, and they were there for 12 or 14 hours in Berlin in 1937. From there, they took another train going down to Switzerland, and in Switzerland, they were offered a job, a teaching job, in Montreux, in the French side of Switzerland, where they accepted a position, and they were teaching. It was a tiny yeshiva, tiny community, but still they were off. They were there, and they taught Torah, and Rabban Leib was there for a number of years. So was a Moshe. Eventually, they both left to different places, but they were there during the war years. Rabban Leib said he was the only one, together with Moshe, who survived. The entire yeshiva was wiped out during the war. There was hardly anybody surviving, and he says he hasn't got a doubt. He hasn't got a doubt that it had to do with the machlokes that was in the yeshiva, and the people had there was a turmoil, there was a bit of a machlokes, and people were. He said it wasn't. He said that the fact that he was saved was because he didn't want to get involved in this disagreement, in this what we call politics. He didn't want to get involved in it, and that's how he survived the war. So he said that he understood the message that he took. He said, if I ever made it through the war and I survived it, it must be that that's what I have to teach. That's what I have to tell people, and that's what I have to share with the rest of the. The rest of Klal Yisrael, and that's what he did. I thought it's a fascinating story. Okay, Rabbi said we're up to Simon Shin Yud. We're continuing with the Halachos of Muktzah. We're up to the bottom of page Kuf Yud Gimel, which is Sivav. I want to here again move a little bit faster in order to complete the Simon Shin Yud tomorrow. Be'ezer Hashem, Pline the Sivav, bottom of the page Kol. Dobosh also Letalteloi. This is now going back to the halachas of muktzah. Something is also to be moved. Also the title, top of page 226. Also lit in tacht of kli. This is a repetition of an earlier halacha. You don't have to put underneath it another clear vessel. So you've got an item which is muktzah. You may not place something underneath that item. Why not? You have a muktzah pen. You're allowed to put the pen in a bowl. Why not? Exactly. That's right, because the bowl becomes a bosses. By making it to a bosses, you're making that kli now not usable anymore. The bowl now becomes not roy for ishtamshus, and you're mevatel kli mechonoy, which is also. Avolmuta lichfroys all of kli. But you're allowed to cover the, if you have a mukta, you're allowed to put a kli, a vessel on top of the kli, the kli on top of the mukta item, but as long as you're not touching it. So Rabbi said that the main halacha of here is, you may not make, if you have a mukta item, whatever it may be, a mukta item, you may not put, you know, may not put a bowl underneath it, or a plate, or a tray underneath it, that it's now being held by a holding keli, because by doing that, you're making it a bosses, and you're allowed to make something a bosses on Shabbos, because you're now making the bosses into a kli which cannot be used on Shabbos anyway, it becomes a bosses. And to make something a kli which you can't use, that's mevatl kli mechonoi, which is also. However, what you are allowed to do, if you've got a mukta item, and for some reason it's really bothering them, it's bothering you, it's disturbing you, you're allowed to cover it, you're allowed to take something and cover it up, that you're allowed to do, as long as you're not touching it. Any questions? As long as the kli is not, but as long as you're not touching it. Any questions? There's a question here. What's that? What's the question? On the last statement. Very good. You know, there's no issa of touching. We learned previously, there's no issa of touching, mukta. What is the issa? To move it. To move it is issa. There's no issa of mukta, contrary to popular belief. To touch a car is no problem in touching the car. Unless you're really, really strong, and by just touching it, you're shuckling the car, then you've got a problem. But otherwise, by just touching, there's no problem in touching a mukta item. You have to touch a pen. No, pen is probably going to move. But you're allowed to touch a mukta item. You're allowed to touch a mukta item, but you're not allowed to move it. So why does Shulchan Aruch say b'vlad shaliga boy? You're allowed to cover something as long as you're not touching it. It's not precise. It's not true. You're allowed to touch a mukta item. You're allowed to move it. So the answer is Mishabu is bothered by that in the name of Achronim, and he says that we're talking about something which is going to inevitably move. Sivkot Nechov Beis. Yes, you're allowed to touch mukta, kedel, as we discussed earlier. It's talking actually an egg. It's talking about an egg. Now you try to touch an egg without moving it. You try. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So that's what we're talking about over here. It said that it's talking about an egg, and it's certainly going to move. But he says something, but something which is not going to move, shor is muta. So again, Abayisai, to touch a mukta item is muta. To move a mukta item is also. And to mevatel kli mechonoi, but to mevatel kli mechonoi is also, and that leaves us to Siv Zayin. Okay, Siv Zayin is talking about a mito. Now, I don't know much about beds. Well, I know loads about beds, but this is talking about a bed over here. Mito sheyesh le'amos. It seems to, the literal translation is a mito, a bed sheyesh le'amos, which has coins on it. Now, in our, we normally wouldn't place coins on a bed, but this seems to be something quite normal over here. I don't exactly know what kind of bed it is. It's maybe some, not sure. I don't exactly know. But it's talking about mois sheyesh le'amos, mito sheyesh le'amos. It's a bed which has got coins, which you put coins on it. What's going to be the halacha of the bed? There's coins on it. It's a bosses. That's right. And you're allowed to. It's the mito becomes a bosses. So it says as follows: mito sheyesh le'amos, a bed which has got coins on it. Afilu ein le'alto, and even if now there is no coins on the bed. But v'hoyu le'ele ben hashmoshes, but there was coins on the bed during pein hashmoshes, after Shkia. Also letal, you're not allowed to move the bed. So why is that? I understand that if there's coins on the bed, I understand you're not allowed to move the bed. I hear that. But why is it that if there were coins on the bed during ben hashmoshes, but they've been removed by now, they fell down, now there's no coins anymore on the bed, now still, it's Shabbos afternoon now, Shabbos morning, now I'm not, why is it that now I'm not allowed to move the bed still? Why? Coins have long gone. Why is that? Very good. And that's the rule they were learning in Siv Zayin. It's a key halacha. The migud is katzoi lebein hashmoshes. Since it was iskatzoi, was mukzi, was set aside lebein hashmoshes during the ben hashmoshes period of time when Friday came in, iskatzoi lekule alma, he became mukzi for the entire For the entire Shabbos. Migu, since it's katzoyle ben hashmorsh, since he was mukta during ben hashmorshes, his katzoyle kol yoyme becomes mukta for the entire day. Hence, if the coins were on the bed during ben hashmorshes, and they've long gone, but they were there during ben hashmorshes, so the loch is that the mitzvah is also to be moved. When? The entire Shabbos. So on Shabbos afternoon, you're allowed to move the bed because during Ben Hashmoshes there was mukta item on top of it. Very good. But after the tzarchuv mekoyme, says the Ramo, you're not allowed to move it even tzarchuv mekoyme because of migud is katzoy, makes it mukta all the way across. Vuade and similarly called over hetter shemuna chalav isa. This will be the locha to everything. So if you've got Rabbi Isai, I'll tell you where this is very relevant. If you've got Shabbos candles. Rabbi says Shabbos candles. Let's say you have Shabbos candles directly on the table, and there was nothing else on the table when the Shabbos candles were lit. Shabbos candles are mukta. Are we agreeing on that? Yeah. So now you want to move the table on Shabbos afternoon, long after the Shabbos candles have gone off. Are you allowed to move the table? Yes or no? Correct. Why? Yeah. That would be fine, correct. If you would put then it would be, we'll speak about that again, you're right. And as far as the Shabbos candles are concerned, it's true now they're not mukts anymore, you could argue, because they're not, Shabbos afternoon, they're not lit anymore. But since they were mukts when Shabbos came in, and therefore the table became a bosses, so therefore he remains a bosses for the entire Shabbos. Miskud is katsoy le ben hashmosh, is katsoy le kulu yoyma. Aber im Ende der Atomois, that's what you're talking about. But if there was no coins, gam lo yoyla ben hashmosh, there was no coins on Friday night, and now there's no coins, mutal et altala, she allowed to move the table, if there was no mukts item, obviously Friday night, there was no mukts the entire Shabbos, obviously allowed to move it, it's no mukts. Afilu yichto le mois, vinichom ale ami bojoyim, even if normally it is designated for coins, it doesn't make a difference, you're allowed to move it because it's, because there's no mukta item on top of it. Kiven shesilku kun ben hashmosh, because if normally you've got coins on the bed, but now there's no coins, and there was no coins on Friday night, obviously you're allowed to move it. V'yesh oisrin, p'yichet lekach v'niach lohem, v'niach bohem afol p'sh shesilku min bojoyim. Rabbi said, that leads us to an interesting Gemara now, that talks about the following case. Rabbi said, what would you say is the halacha of a purse? A wallet. What's the halacha? Is a wallet mukta, purse? Mukta, yes or no? Very good. You said there's money in it, so it's a bosses. Now, what about if you... Very good. You're right. What if there's no money in it? What a wallet which has no... A purse which has no money in it. Is it mukta, yes or no? Pardon? Can't hear? Okay, if it was taken out before Shabbos even. So you're saying that it should be fine? No other usage? Why? There's no money inside. Very, very good. That's the Ramos Chiddush over here. The Ramos is going to tell us exactly what Mr. Berlin is Mechadish over here. That there are some unique items, and I can't think of many more examples besides the purse. The Ramos is Mechadish over here, unlike the Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramos is Mechadish, that there are items which are designated for always constant, always mukta usage, like a purse, which normally has got money, and therefore it's a bosses. And it's always got a... You don't normally use a purse for anything besides money. Agreed? So therefore, even if there's no money inside it, it's a massive chiddush. A purse without money inside it is mukta. You're going to say, but there's no money inside it, why is it mukta? The answer is, Ramah says, v'yesh oisrin b'yichad lekach v'niach poem afol p'esh silke mebojoyim. Even if it was removed before, it's designated, it's miyuchad for it, it becomes also letalt v'shabbos. V'lochein, therefore, also letalt kishel mois, you're not allowed to move a purse, kishel mois purse, half of p, although shoitzi a mois mimene, but yoim, although the money was taken out before Shabbos, nevertheless, it's mukta. Yes. Touch, but not move. Yes.
So the same would be like an umbrella then. An umbrella would be mukta, because it's designed.
Good example.
So you could touch it.
Yep.
As long as you don't move it.
Yep. Yeah. What if you want to make a purse into a kid's toys? You have an old purse and you want to make it into a kid's toy. But now it's a mukta item. But now you want to make into a you want to use it for you want to use it at home for the oilim to play with. So the halacha is, okay, what are you going to do? It's mukta. We just said now it's designated and therefore it's mukta. So what can you do? Ramo is now telling us, if you do a ma'aseh, if you do an action on it, a significant action, then it's going to be okay, such as cutting the corners, such a cutting like a piece from the bottom or something. Once you've done an action to reveal that now it's not its normal designated status anymore, by that it's going to be mutter. That's what Shulchan Aruch is. Ramo is mechadesh over here. Elohim Cain, also by ma'aseh, did an action. You open it from the bottom. You have therefore removed it from the designation. And that's the minig. Can you think of any other item which is always, always used for mukta purpose? And therefore, pardon? A gun holder. Yeah. Yeah. So, very good. A gun holder. Very good. So, let's think this through. So, if it's a gun holder, it's miyuchad. If you can't be used for anything else, it would be mukta, even if there's no gun there. It's going to be a... Yeah, very good example. Very good example. So now, if you... That's a good example. So if you have got... If you happen to have a gun holder for some reason, just in case, and you want to use it on Shabbos, you're not using it for a gun, because obviously that's... So now the gun holder itself becomes mukta, because the bosses, even without the gun. It's a very good example. Pardon? So you can, that's right. All these, that's good examples, all good examples, all bosses. So now you have to make a certain action. You cut it a bit or break it a bit, or it doesn't have to be damaging. You could just like change it a bit, and therefore it's going to be non-mukta, and you'll be able to use it for Shabbos. This is now talking about a similar, it's a pocket really, which is part of the garment. You've got a pocket which is part of the garment. Is there any pocket which is part of a garment which normally is worn? Okay, a pocket that you normally put coins in. A trousers pocket that you normally put coins in. Is it mukta without the coins? Would your normal trousers pocket be mukta on Shabbos?
No.
Even if you put normally coins in there?
No, you could use it for other things.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Yeah, very good. Oh, very, that's good. So you're right, and you're also right. And the Ramah says your point. That he says, he says, because the pocket is part of the garment, therefore it's anyway fine. But what would be, for instance, in a scenario that a person only uses it for coins, he doesn't use anything else in. Tissues he wouldn't put in there, and nobody put anything just for coins. Loch would still be that it's mutter without the coins, because it becomes bottle, it becomes nullified towards the baguette, and therefore a pocket is always going to be part of the garment. It's fine, it's not mukta. Avolim shochach boy mois, but obviously if you forgot coins in the pocket, mutter letaltela baguette, you're allowed to walk around with that piece of cloth, that trousers. Now this is an interesting case. You've got coins in the pocket, you forgot the coins. Coins in the trousers. Ever happened to anybody? Coins forgotten in the trousers? Okay. So he says, you're allowed to walk around with this piece of trousers. We do not say, you will not say the whole garment becomes bottle to the coins, because the coins are not really on the actual garment, but it's not. He says that the obvious perhaps you're not to walk out with it on Shabbos, but he does say that interestingly it wouldn't be that the whole baguette becomes bosses to the pocket and to the coins. But Allah Almighty, you're not to walk out with it. Yes, indeed. That's a good question. If you've got coins in it, you should shake. I think the best would be to shuckle it and shake them out. Yeah. There's two shaylos. One is mukta, and one is.
What happens if the coins are valuable?
So what you should do then, once. So very good. So the halacha is depending on how far you are from home. There is perhaps a heter if you haven't stopped at all to walk back and to shake it out at home. If you have not stopped, that is. Yeah. Now. There is a fascinating Mogen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah in Sefkot Lamed Aleph over here, who speaks about a drawer. What happens if you've got, in Mishnah Berurah in Sefkot Lamed Aleph speaks about, what's the halacha if you've got a drawer and you've got pens inside it as well as other items as well? Do you know what? Just mukta items. You've got a drawer which only mukta items in it. Yeah, the drawer becomes a boss. What about the actual table? Yeah, there's inside is a drawer. The drawer is muktzeh's bosses. When I've got a table, why can I use a table? Can use a table. Why? Because what? Because? Very good. That's precisely Magen Avraham's chiddush. Very good. So the Magen Avraham Mishabur brings a fascinating, very, very good. Brings a moedig chiddush. It's a chiddush that he says that if it's a self, a separate entity, this is a chiddush. If you've got something which is a separate unit, a separate
entity,
that's the word, thank you very much, then that will remain muktzah, but it will not affect the other parts. The example would be the table. You've got the drawer in the table, but you've got pens there. Since you can take it off the drawer, so it will not affect the rest of the table. As long as it really is a separate unit, and you can really take it off. That it doesn't affect, the table won't become a bosses. That's the Mishnah Berurah's Chiddush in Sifkot Lamed Alef. Let me read the words, the key words. Similar with the box, the drawer, if you can take it out of the table, they're all separate kelim, considered separate units. For the nispatel shulchan, it doesn't become bottle to the table. That's what he says. It doesn't become bosses. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is mechadish. So sometimes, what could be another application of this Mishnah Berurah? What could be another application of that? Something which becomes a bosses, but it is part of the grid of a larger item, but since you can separate them, then the second one doesn't become a bosses to the former. Won't be another case. Perhaps a stender.
Also,
yeah, very good. Very good. Very good example. You've got a bed. Underneath, you've got mukta items. If they can be separately.
Yeah, that's
in the drawer. Yeah, good example. So the bed is not going to be considered the bosses. That is a separate compartment. Yeah, very good. I was thinking of bosses as well of a stender, maybe. If you've got a stender, will not become a boss if it's separate units. Not sure. But yeah, I think your case is a very, very good case as well. Okay. Okay, Rabbi said to recap what we covered tonight. We learned tonight the Vav, which tells us about not making something into a bosses, because you have a vat l'kli mechonoi. We learned you're allowed to cover up a mukta item as long as you don't move it. It says not touch it, but it means moving it. We learned, so we discussed again the issur bim vat l'kli mechonoi. To make a kli into something non-usable, that's also on Shabbos. We spoke about coins on top of a bed. The bed becomes a bosses. Even if the coins have been removed by now, it's still a bosses if the coins were on the bed during Ben Hashmoshes. Megudis Katsoile Ben Hashmoshes, since it was mukta during Ben Hashmoshes, it will remain mukta lekuleyem throughout the entire day. We spoke then about the fact that if it wasn't there, the kish shel mois, the purse. Since a purse is designated to be a bosses, then even if there's no money there when Shabbos comes in, nevertheless, it's just too designated and too identified with the money, and therefore it becomes muktzah. You can make a shino in it with a certain action, and then it's going to be mutter to be used, and otherwise it will remain muktzah. We spoke about pockets, and then we spoke about the drawers, the Magen Avraham's chiddush, the Mishnah Berurah's chiddush, that if you have got something which is separate unit, then it's not bottle, and it will not become a bosses. Good evening, Abayis.